Really good to be with you today. Glad you could join us. We're going to have, a really good time together. When I say together, that's you and James and I. This is James Harris. Many of you would know James from his days here as an elder and our executive pastor, and he has had many adventures since.
Nice way to say it.
Thank you. I thought I'd keep it light if we could that way. And so let me pray for us real quick, and then we're going to dive into what the Lord has for us today. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to be able to look into the things that you have done and the things that you are doing. Lord, I know around here we've talked a good deal about this concept of being expectant and really having beyond hope that you're going to show up and be you and do what you do. And Lord, we just want to open the doors today and say, would you show us the things that you're up to and give us that insight and understanding that causes us to be able to cooperate and partner with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, you don't know this maybe, but I do. James has been working on books, not just one, but books. And that's one of the new things that's going on. And so why don't you give us a concept here?
Yeah. This book, which you endorse, you got a chance to read the manuscript mm-hmm. before it was actually released. And some of the things that in here you were involved in or happened here at the mm-hmm. church, and but it's about 50 years of experience since with the Lord, dreams, visions, just walking with him over a period of time. And you look at it, it's less than 50 pages. You go, man, is that it? You know? But I really felt a very, urged by the Lord to mm-hmm. keep it as simple as possible, thus keeping it as short as possible, but not taking any of the content out of it. That was very, very important. There are a lot of prophetic dreams that started when I was 7 years old. And so last year, I really felt a nudge from the Lord, as well as friends like you, that says, now is that time
yeah.
to let it go. And so this, what time is it? I really believe it really points to the time we're living in right now.
You touch on, just for everybody to know, why Carver Jones?
Yeah, you know I love that story. Carver is George Washington Carver. Mm-hmm. Frederick Jones is Frederick McKinney Jones. Most people know George Washington Carver. Mm-hmm. There's even places here that yeah. his hand touched. He certainly is an Alabamian, and so there's Tuskegee University
yes.
there in which he taught mm-hmm. in that school. Frederick McKinney Jones invented the first portable refrigeration. That company is called Thermo King today.
Yeah, wow.
And so both of these men's legacy changed the world. Without portable refrigeration, it was very difficult, and particularly the cattle producers here in the Midwest could not ship their beef
right.
across country because they would lose too much of it just icing it along, and it would take too much time. So portable refrigeration changed everything,
mm-hmm.
and these are two black men that changed the world. And so that name is a little bit about what we want to be about,
mm-hmm.
and we feel a mandate from God because he does. There's always an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason why it's on these two men's legacy that we like to talk about.
Yeah. I think there's something to that, and it's interesting in the sense that it's looking back, because these are historical people.
That's right.
And at the same time, paving the way forward to bring accessible, available, food to people that's good for them and rightly priced and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so it's really taking history and heroes of the history and now making something happen that hasn't happened and has been a need for a long time.
Absolutely. The other thing, John, that's very powerful about this model is that 50% of all the workers in the grocery store are from the community, and they're high school and first year college students. We wanted to create an environment so that these young people understand, just like these men, there's greatness in them. God created them for a destiny and a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the overall model. It's not just providing fresh, nutritious food, but it's seeing transformation come to communities because people get transformed.
Yeah. So. Well, and one of the things I've always enjoyed about your view on this is that, yes, it's going to bring income, bringing jobs to people, but there's going to be an opportunity for management and ownership and these kinds
Absolutely.
Of things.
Absolutely, which is a big part of it, right?
Which in some cases that's never happened.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
And there's like, and there's a door, but there's also a ladder, yeah. You put it that way.
That's right, and it comes from within the community. It's not what they don't, people don't have, it's what they do have.
Yeah.
So it's not doing it for them, it's doing it with them. Mm-hmm. And so they play their part, and without their part, it won't work. But that ownership piece, being able to have, much like a Chick-fil-A, a owner-operator there, that the better that store does, the better they do. So there's a benefit for that individual that we're training that's going to oversee the day-to-day operations of that store. It's just, it's an added value. And I think it's just the heart of the Lord because He loves people.
Right.
And there's no problem that can't be solved. And it led me, John, to a podcast that I did before the store opened, and it's called Kingdom Solutionaries. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to look through our world, as broken as it is, and with all the situations, but look at it through God's eyes and dream with God? Because there is no, two things come immediately off the table, and that is impossible.
Right.
Nothing is impossible to
That's
Him,
right.
And there's no place that is God forsaken.
Yeah.
And so those podcasts are on there, out there on YouTube, that people can go. There's about 30 episodes out there. It's I really enjoyed doing them because it allowed us to just ask Holy Spirit what He's saying and then just go through it and just share what He had placed on our heart. So I had a co-host, and she was very good at that. We had a lot of fun. So yeah.
There's something about touching those realities. And and I've seen a number of the podcasts, so I can say,
yeah,
they were fun to watch,
yes.
too, because you could just see discovery happening, you know, while you were discussing it.
Yeah.
But I see two things in it. One is just the idea of the Holy Spirit is the most creative person in the
Absolutely.
World. Consequently, we have never exhausted all of the options that He can come across with.
Yeah.
And when you find what He's touching in a moment, in a season, in an opportunity is what I'm trying to get at. Options are great, but they need to lead to an opportunity.
Yeah, it needs to be onto something, right?
So it can be fulfilled, and because you know how this works, a lot of times the power's in the process.
That's right.
So
that's also what the difficulty is.
That's where the work is. I used to do this thing. Kids, little girls would take, cut paper dolls out and had them like this, and they pull them out, and there may be a dozen of them there because you'd cut them correctly. And I said, I want somebody to do one of those for me that says ministry on it. And when you pull it out like this, it says totally unequivocally difficult. and it's an intervention in your life.
Yeah.
And so, and if you're not willing for the interruption and the intervention in your life, just let the kids play.
Yeah. That's good.
Don't
that's
open good. Yourself up.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is providing that.
Yeah, it is. And so I'm very, very thankful to be able to partner with what God is doing in the earth today. And that's good. But you wrote a book.
I did.
You did. You did. I was, I was on staff.
Right.
When you wrote that book, and really encourage you to do it, The Rhythm of a Captured Heart.
Yes.
And we always think about hands, right? But God is after the heart.
That's right.
We think about treasures that we have or things that you know, and he just wants our hearts. Mm-hmm. And when he captures our hearts, he's got our hands.
That's it.
You know, so why don't you talk a little bit about your book? And because I love it. I love it. I love it.
Well, I had a lot of fun figuring out what to leave out.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I get it. Yeah,
because there's so many things that you could say and do. And so, if you're interested in the book, you can just contact the church. We can take care of it. Mm-hmm. Part of the issue for me was, Lord, I mean, he'd been talking to me about writing for quite a while, and I just, you know, but I got this job, and I'm doing this, and there's a lot of people issues and right. that kind of thing. And I finally just said, I'm either going to do it or I'm not. And so I did. The issue was, every time I had an encounter with the Lord, what I would call like a page turner mm-hmm. or a corner turning experience, I made sure I'd write that in my journal. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just sifted back through journals mm-hmm. and said, these are things that happened to me and I was different. He added something to me or graciously subtracted something.
Yeah, that's right. What not to do is important. Yeah.
So it's just revelatory information, mm-hmm. things that I did not have in my understanding and that I did, and it made a difference in my life. In fact, it made a difference. The Lord is so good. He'd make a difference in me, and it gave me the opportunity to impart that to other people. So that thing happened with them as well. And so the captured heart idea was simply, I'm just journaling one day, and I said, Lord, I feel like there's like a divine cadence or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, there's a marching order, so mm-hmm. to speak, when you're in tune with him and you're synchronized with what he's doing. And he didn't say, draw, but he spoke to me in my, how I heard from heaven in my heart and said, you're talking about the rhythm of a captured heart. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's too good to have come from me.
Yeah.
So I said, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I've done. And it's been, it's fun. I had a chance to distribute these in a prison in Illinois through somebody that got a hold of the book and got a hold of me. And I thought, now that's a really interesting thing, because here people who have been captured and are incarcerated are now have an opportunity to invite the Lord to capture them from the inside. And so through somebody helping me, I got them 100 books.
Oh, man.
And so in a state prison in Illinois, and I thought, that's awesome.
Well, you know, John, that's one of the beauties of writing.
Yes.
The books can go where we can't. And they were open doors that we will never knock on. And you just never know how God will orchestrate that. Our job is being obedient, do what he tells us to do, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, I didn't mention this, but both of these books can be, they're on Amazon, so people can order them from Amazon. This one's kind of stalled for just a little bit because we're adding some more material mm-hmm. to it. What time is it? Is there? It's only been out for a month, so we released it at the end of last year. So it's hard for me to say this, but I'm gonna say it. I encourage people to read it.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
There'll be. It really fits this time that we're in. I asked them also to leave a review of it, and that just helps, you know, promote the book by Amazon. But both books will be there. I'm just adding a little bit more material to the book on the model because that is such a big big issue in our nation, mm-hmm. and the Lord has given us some insights on how to address it, and so I'm excited about that.
I think one of the things that's been of interest to me, and that I know because, well, if nothing else, we had lunch yesterday and talked about some of this, but we've been talking about this for a long time, and it's you want people who have a common heart. You want people who have that same pull and draw and are after establishing the kingdom, not building their own little empires and that kind of thing. And it's so difficult because when you have zeal and desire to do something and someone sounds like you sound, because they're saying that they value some of the same things. Then you want to jump on that thing and let's go. Then you find out that's all I had was one paragraph. That's, I really didn't, but I wanted you to feel like that. You know, I mean, really, there's that. And that's true in the kingdom, too. We have to be able to connect with people who have integrity, honesty, openness, and are not afraid to take a jump or risk, a little bit. But at the same time, you have to be able to have your eyes in the sky and your feet planted on the ground so you can do the things where you are, but getting orders from headquarters. And I know that's in your heart real big. And this is part of the model book.
That's
is
right.
about that.
That's right.
Here's not just the what, here's the why.
The why is big. I've spoke to several entrepreneur groups, so to speak, I think here's my spiel. The why is more important than the how.
Yep.
And I'll say it this way, if your why isn't strong enough, if it's not the basis of why you're doing what you're doing, so to speak, then the how really doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because if you're looking at the difficulty of the process, the understanding needs to be from the very top.
Yeah.
If it was easy, somebody would have done it by now, and there wouldn't be this problem across our nation, right?
Yeah.
So it already carries that difficulty already there. And so that why is the driver that everyone needs to find, and then find those, I like to say it this way, that's find your tribe of people that carry that same burning desire for that thing that you know you've been called to, not a career, a calling.
Yeah.
And generally, problems like this must have a calling.
Yes.
Because they make a lousy career. So, and I'm saying that having been in the grocery business and around food for most of my life, 30 plus years of the retail world. And I told you, as we found out when we opened that store in Fairfield, which was a prototype of what we wanted to do, that nothing in my 30 years of experience of having worked in typical conventional grocery stores would have prepared me for what I experienced in that community.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad I went. It wasn't what I wanted to do, but what has happened since that time of obedience, I could have never experienced had I not obeyed. And so,
Well, we learned some valuable lessons. And,
yes, we did.
In those things. And I mean, one, we can put this to any kingdom thing. Lots of times, something good happens, whether that's in a church, in a movement, in a place of business, and a bunch of people want to talk to those people and say, how'd you do it? And then they want to run out and do exactly what those people did.
Yeah.
And that usually doesn't work well. It's motive. I would say God is a motive man. And when you can surround yourself with people whose motive is the same, drive is the same, then methods become a dime a dozen.
That's right.
But if the motive is right, then kind of any method will work. Some will work better than others.
That's right.
But if all you have is the right method, then it's going to fall right off,
absolutely,
off the table. And I think you can see that in churches in the kingdom the same way. Why did this guy did that and it worked? Why didn't it work for me? Well, because the Lord gave it to him, not you.
That's right.
Doesn't mean some of those things can't be replicated. I don't mean that. But it's this thing in here of this. I want to do how he wants it done.
That's right.
And if we're in tune, if I can say, walking in the rhythm together, then he's going to take care of the output.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And
it may not be the way you thought it was going to go.
Amen. That's the shortest answer I can give to that.
And we like to think that if it's God, you used this expression once, it must have Pam on it, and it's just going to slide right on through, and it's not going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And we find out just opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is, and through this process, I have found he has because he lives outside of time,
yeah.
if I can say
yeah.
that,
yeah.
he is timeless. Mm-hmm. He's already seen the end. He's already been there. And so he's seen where he's trying to get us, where he's taken us to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mystery on his side. The mystery is in our side.
That's right.
And all we can see is maybe the next step. And it's on a need-to-know basis. When you need to know, he'll let
That's
you
right.
know. And the thing I found in this particular case is that that obedience, that act of obedience, really shows up when everything inside of you
yeah.
don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All of the logic and all of my schooling, all my experience,
yeah.
all those things was just against what I was being asked to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when you have to hang on the Word of God. And I think we're in a season like that in the earth right now, where the Word of God is not president, in other words, front mm-hmm. and center in the life of the believer, because there's so much other stuff going on. And then we're having a whole lot of people helping us misunderstand what is really happening. And we're looking at it, and we're trying to come to the conclusion of it. The problem is that people will show you what they want you to see.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And if you can't see beyond that,
that's...
it limits the knowledge of what we know about it. And I think that's happening. So, let me ask you this, John: if you were any of the members of the church right now, anyone part of the body of Christ right now, what would you say? For this particular era of time in which we're living in, what would you say would be the number one thing that is so important for that would be the lead that everyone needs to put this? Of course, we're putting Christ first, and of course, we're putting God first. What would you say to them would be that first thing that they need to really be careful of right now? And do.
Well, I'll backtrack just a little bit, but for me, the number one value as a Christian is humility.
Okay.
And I understand humility to be learning how to place value where God places
value. Yeah.
So that really hits me. In our house, so to speak, here, I've really been on this thing about expectation. And confidence in God,
mm-hmm.
and because I think boldness to me isn't exactly what I'm after, although I want to believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
But confidence in God is on the inside. It's what brings courage
on the outside.
On the outside. And so that's you can be expectant
exactly.
and recognizing at the same time His sovereignty.
Yes.
So no, this is a little bit convoluted, but see, I think and. This is another thing that's really been on me since Christmas time. We talk about the Lord being sovereign. We want to yield to His sovereignty. And the Lord said, yeah, and I need to remind you that I'm sovereign, not just over time, but over timing.
That's a good.
And so that's the Issachar issue.
Absolutely.
We've got to be able to determine and understand what is the Lord saying. So the people of God can know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's a corporate and an individual
yeah.
situation. And it's not wrong to say, well, he's sovereign over timing, so that does that mean we always have to wait? No, it just means you always have to have wait as an option.
That's right.
And if you recognize, but if he's saying, jump, don't ask how high, just jump.
Just jump. You may not have time to get those words out your mouth, just do it. Just
exactly
obey.
Right. So it seems like I like to use the term oscillating polarities. It makes it sound smart. I'm not, but that's what it sounds like. The polarities are like these two things can't possibly exist at the same time.
Mm.
But they do, and they're alive, they're oscillating, they're moving because he is doing something. He does suddenly come to his temple.
Mm.
It isn't always wait.
Mm.
Sometimes it is. Mm. And he would rather be your Lord, you know, not just your landlord, but your Lord, to the
That's
point
good.
Where if this is a time where time and timing have come to that, you've come to that intersection,
mm-hmm.
man, don't stop on the sidewalk. Get
mm-hmm.
across the street.
That's good.
Be in that intersection. So to me, it's that capacity to say, expectant of God. I believe God's like, it's hope. God's going to show up and be God, and that, because that's who he is and that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And I can fervently believe that and expect those things to happen at the same time, yield to him and his sovereignty to say, if it's not the right now, I don't want it.
That's right. And that's a hard thing because you, and the side of, on the, and I just go, this is the perfect time.
Yeah.
You know, everything's this, this, and this. And he says, no.
No.
No, not the right time.
I found out he and I don't use the same yardstick. You know, we,
that's funny. Yeah.
He measures differently
than
I do. And he does want me to be expectant. He does want me to believe that he is good and he does good. He wants those things to be real. At the same time, he doesn't want my eagerness to mess up his sovereignty and his choice.
Because
it's not just about me. It's about who else it's going to help.
That's
and touch.
Right.
And is it going to be good for the kingdom and honorable to the Father?
Mm.
Those two things need to happen. So there's a horizontal effect and there's a vertical effect.
Mm.
And that's to me when time and timing have come together.
That's
and
cool.
you can see the result.
Yeah.
So anyway, long answer.
No. That's a good answer. Great answer. I believe, and you know, we've walked together for almost 30 years now. In a relationship of some form. And both on the elder team, and just, you know, there was a time where you were a member and I was a member, and we sat out there with the people, you know, and somebody else led the things on Sunday mornings. But there's a passage of scripture that speaks to just what you just said. And it really tripped me up for a number of years as a follower of Christ, because we think so differently as humans. And that was a passage that says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at Old Testament, New Testament, some scholars say it's 400 years, and the Word of God is very rare in those seasons and those times. So God wasn't saying a whole lot. And yet, Earth, or the, you know, the culture, was still in as bad of a shape, or worse shape, or certainly no better shape.
Mm-hmm.
Than when Jesus came.
That's right.
So what made it so the right time?
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed, it took me a long time, to really unpack that statement, that there were so many things going on earth at that period of time when Jesus came that didn't exist 400 years before.
Right.
And here comes Jesus in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, could it be learning from that experience of what God has done can give us insight to the character and nature of God, of what is he doing in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like what you're saying, because I'm not as smart as you, I can't put it that way. I was just simply saying the most important thing for the believer in this hour is discernment.
Yeah.
Being really intentionally of seeking the Lord and discerning what he's doing in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And not just what he has done, but what is he doing.
Yeah.
Part of the things that I talk a little bit more about this in the book was the simple fact was, okay, Lord, why is this the right time?
Yeah.
You know, why is it now?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't get answers to that. He speaks it through other people.
Yes.
And so you're hearing it through, I remember you said this then, but you weren't talking about that. You said that then, but you weren't talking about then. You're talking about now.
Yeah.
But you spoke it back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so holding on to the Word of God, the promises of God, without the peace of it. And I remember saying to someone one day, because it just dawned on me, Hebrews 11, not faith is, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen.
Yeah.
And we always want to see it before we want to see the evidence. Give me some evidence, you know, because you can take that to court. I can take the evidence to the court and get a legal decision about the evidence.
That's right.
But the evidence, if the evidence has not yet been seen, but it's you said it, it's kind of like a deposit that's been made. It's like the coins going in a pop machine and you get the cluck.
Yeah.
And you know, when you push the button, you're going to get the desire that you're after.
Uh-huh.
But it's the button. You ain't, yeah. It ain't ready to push the button yet. You know what I'm saying?
And you're going to be thirsty a while longer.
Exactly. And yeah. So I said to someone, faith is like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't become faith until you can't see it. Mm. If you can see it, you don't need faith for it.
Yeah.
Faith is that substance of things hoped for. That's this hope that he puts in our heart. Mm-hmm. But the evidence, yeah. We can't see it yet.
Well, you know, hope is futuristic and faith is now.
That's right.
And throw love in there and you've got the perfect trio.
Oh, man.
Right?
You really do.
Because faith works through love.
So. That's right. And so keeping that love
yes.
ablaze mm-hmm. keeps us attached to the person of Christ, mm-hmm. the nature of God, and being able to keep our spirit enlightened
yes.
at the same time, not having evidence mm-hmm. that you see it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like that in this season of time, that there's something going on.
Yes, me too.
But I don't know what it's going to look like. One of the things that the Lord said to me during the season that with some of the things I wrote in the book was, James, the winds of change are blowing. That's the reason why I had the subtitle. And I actually was standing here one morning getting prepared to speak. I remember it was March 6th. There was a storm starting up and the radios are going off. And so people's attention is on the storm. Mm-hmm. And so we did our due diligence and had our trustees kind of monitor the situation, kind of give us feedback. But he said this to me, in addition to the winds of change are blowing, can you not perceive it?
Yeah.
And he says, if you're holding on to what I'm blowing away, then you can't grab hold to what I'm blowing in.
That's exactly right.
Because there is a season where you hold tight, real tight, what you've heard him say and what you've seen him do and the process that went. And then there's a season where holding on to that doesn't fit into the today or what he's doing because mm-hmm. you've seen him shift mm-hmm. things. And it's not unbelief, belief, it's just I'm moving. I'm turning the page, yeah. That's a good way to say it. I've turned the page.
It's like Israel, you know, they have the Nehushtan.
Yes.
Piece of steel, yes. metal. Yeah. He said, look and you'll live.
Live, yeah. The bronze serpent. On the pole, right?
And then it got so bad that they became worshiping. And he had to grind the thing up and make them drink it or whatever, you know, to get them. No, that was me being God there. Now, I've experienced, or you've experienced, and I've expressed myself in that fashion. Now you need to know you took it too far, and mm-hmm. it became 180 degrees from what I
became
gave
idol then. Yeah.
So we took, I'm taking it out of your hands. For your own good.
That's right.
And so if you think of this, and I've written this down a couple of times, not so much voluntarily as, but I got the book open, so I'm going to do it, you know. But if we think the Lord's up to something, then that probably means he's wanting to change me.
Yeah. Now, it starts with us, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so, do you want something new to happen? Yes. You're looking for something better to happen? Yes. Are you willing to have it happen in you? What's it going to cost me? Yeah. There's this thing.
Sorry. That's right.
No, I'd rather. could we, and you negotiate.
Yeah. Or let you try.
And of course, then the reverse of that is, I want something to happen so bad, I'm going to try to change myself, which is a pitiful mistake.
Doesn't turn out too well, does it?
Oh, no, it's like Frankenstein's monster. You know? It might walk, but it doesn't, you know, it's not working right.
Yeah.
And so to be able to carry the nowness of God into the weight, you know, you've heard me say it a million times. It's the W-E-I-T is harder than the W-E-I-G-H-T, and it's the weight of the weight that's the killer. Mm-hmm. But being able to transfer that, recognize, okay, Lord, if I can do this, let me discern what's going on and figure out what's going on, because I'd much rather have the wind in my back than in my face.
That's right.
And so recognizing that oftentimes a change in what he's doing, you know, in the earth, what he's doing culturally, whether that's in the church or in the family or whatever, recognizing I have a part in that.
Mm.
And so it's great to have a history of God. That's awesome. You need to be able to hold on to all that stuff and all the wonders and the good things that he's done and the reminders and stuff. but it can't keep you from what he's doing next.
Yeah,
of
that's
the increase good. Of his kingdom, his peace. There isn't any end. That means expansion. So his expression brings our expansion,
yeah.
Which means I got to change it somehow.
That's right.
And sometimes all I have to do is be in his presence and not have the door closed.
That's it.
And it's almost like osmosis. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called abiding in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And more of the life comes through, mm-hmm. and the fruit gets put out here. And mm-hmm. If you have fruit juice in you, fruit's going to come out of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so this idea of wanting to know and see what he's doing, there is a thing where there's a tug on our hearts, mm-hmm. for something to happen too. And it's a little harder when you get a little bit older. Well, this is what people tell me that are a little bit older. Anyway, I'm not getting older. I just age. That's what I told my wife. Anyway, the idea is, oh, that means newness of life. Well,
that's right.
What would I trade for newness of life? Mm-hmm. You know, so I might have to put one of my hobby horses down, or take a step to the side or to back, and saying, "What are you saying and doing, Lord?" Because the last thing I want to do is miss it.
Yeah, and that's to that point. That was a fear that drove a whole lot of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I don't want to miss God.
Yeah.
And someone said to me one day, look, your desire is to hear God and follow God. Well, that's his desire too. So it's for you to do that.
That's
so
where you got the desire.
That's right. It's where it came from in the first place. And so he's not going to play hide and seek with you, mm-hmm. in the sense of he doesn't desire for me to know his will. Of course he wants me to know, mm-hmm. his will. But it comes through relationship with him.
That's right.
Not as a slave that just does, mm-hmm. simply what he thinks he's going to want, mm-hmm. me to do without him telling me what to do. But he gives us his Holy Spirit that lives in us, mm-hmm. and it's impossible to please God without him.
That's what it says.
And so that is the thing that brings fear in my heart. And the sense of, Lord, these are your children. Mm-hmm. What do you want to say to them? Mm-hmm. And being sensitive to what he wants to say without involving the rhetoric of the world and people's opinion or my thought, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When I speak his word, I'm standing on the eternal authority.
That's right.
You know, I've got wind at my back.
Yeah.
I've got reinforcement from heaven. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say, man, I just don't know what to do. I said, well, stop doing what you know is wrong,
yeah.
and start doing what
That's
you
right.
know is right. I said, just start there.
That's really right.
You know, because what happens is God will give us more revelation when we act on the revelation he's already given us.
Uh-huh.
He's not about just storing up this. Mm-hmm. I saw this one day in the church, and I looked around and everybody was overweight. And I go, God, what is this? He goes, yeah, my people are spiritually obese. You know, they don't exercise what they've
right.
been given.
That's right.
They just simply take it in. They are created to be a reservoir, mm-hmm. A pipeline, not
right.
a reservoir.
Right.
It's not just a hope be held in no. them, but them to put it in practice and see
yeah.
how the kingdom works, because this is the way it works. It flows mm-hmm. in and through. That's the reason why the Bible says, out of our innermost being mm-hmm. shall flow rivers
yes.
of living water.
And dead sea doesn't work.
Don't work. It doesn't produce life. It only produces death.
Yep.
And so, I know we're just about coming to the end of this, but you understand what I'm saying. My heart for God's people is, number one, for them to know when the store in Fairfield closed, it was very hard for me. And the Holy Spirit did it in such a way that it required a less amount of pain.
Yeah.
That didn't mean it didn't require no pain.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I still suffered the pain of it. And I understand that in this world, there's a lot of brokenness and there's a lot of things. So one of my close friends asked me, he said, James, if you could tell me two things that was the were the two things you'd learned from my experience, what would they be? And I said, well, God loves people.
That's right.
He really loves people. And he would go to the greatest extent to express that love to people. And he said, well, what would be the second thing? People need to be loved.
That's so much right.
And he said, oh my God, so it's all about love of God. I go, yeah. I said, I spoke and touched and did life with people that didn't have a clue.
Yes, right.
That God really loved them.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to have to do this and do that. Somebody asked me that, you know, one of the hardest things about, quote, becoming a Christian is all the things that I feel like I'm going to have to give up to be able to
right. feel.
And I go, what if he changes your heart to?
Yeah, that's what happened with me.
And he says, say that again. I said, there's one thing for us to have a sinful nature, which we all are born into that, right?
Right.
I said, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he changes our nature. Mm-hmm. So those things, that's what Paul said. Those things I don't want to do, I wind up doing, I'm drawn to. But those things, there's those things that I know I should do. Mm-hmm. And one was following the flesh, no, it was following the Spirit.
That's right.
And so, I mean, that's,
big difference on
outcome. It is. It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. A big difference on outcome.
Yeah.
Because one leads to life and other leads to death.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that is true.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
And death being separation.
That's right.
It's like, that's the, you know, I'm going to do a thing on heaven and hell here in a couple weeks. And the truth is, the worst part of hell is that not just where you are, it's where he isn't.
That's right, separation.
And you have
eternal
separation of being separated from God.
Which was never his desire. It's never his desire.
And an incredible awareness for that's what you want and need now. And you can't touch it.
Yeah.
That separation.
For, yeah, that eternal thing. And you know, so many times, pastors and leaders have given us or given people the impression that heaven is the ultimate thing, and it is, but it's a gateway into a new life, not just a goal that I don't go to hell and I go to heaven when I die, and so we live like hell while we're here on the earth. And God's whole intent was never to save you so he can just take you to heaven, but heaven would come to the earth and it would be administered to you.
That's right.
And so that's a whole different concept to most people.
That's what Jesus says in the prayer, the model prayer.
Absolutely.
I want things to be down here like they are up there.
That's right.
And you get them down here.
That's right.
You pray.
You are the ambassador that I'm putting in charge here. You know, I know we can go on and on and about this, but, and you know, we love, I enjoy having that dialogue with someone like you, that my friend. We've done this a lot. And that's what preachers do. They preach to each other. When they get in front of each other, they preach to each other.
Well, I said,
you know?
What are you and James going to talk about? And I said, we're just going to climb each other's ladder.
Yeah. And people get a chance to listen in to the conversation. That's basically it, right?
You know,
So, but it's just that I just know, and people will say this too, they feel the ground shaking up under their feet. Mm-hmm. Is it shaking to this destruction, or is it shaking away unto life?
Yeah.
And it depends on which side of the fence you're on.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Whose eyes are you viewing it through?
If you recognize that he does nothing that's not redemptive.
That's right, yeah.
Then, again, I'll go back to the rhythm concept, but you can catch the cadence of heaven. You can say, oh, I get it.
That's right.
I get it. And just because I don't understand everything about it doesn't mean I can't receive it.
Oh man.
And so that's, to me, we probably ought to tie a bow on this box today. I've been thinking about this as we've been discussing, so I just want to close this with this little bit. You can't write the script. Mm. The Lord is the one who writes the script. And what oftentimes happens is that, and I'm saying to whomever this applies to, but I think it applies to a lot of people, especially if you've walked with the Lord before and then things got messed up or the church got messed up or something happened and you walked away or you sat down and said, I'm not doing this anymore. God can't live up to the script you're writing for him.
Mm.
And if you try to get him to do that, you'll be lonely and disappointed, time and time again because he doesn't change. Yeah. And he has in his heart a desire for the fullness of what you got when you got saved, when you gave your heart to the Lord. There's a destiny for you. Mm-hmm. And for you to miss that, and for those around you to miss that, and for him to have miss the joy of seeing that come true is a big deal. So I'd really like to just pray for us and close this out.
Sure.
Lord, thank you for James and I being able to be together today. Just yes, the fact that geographically we could do that. But Lord, thank you for the years you've given us. And I just want to say the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I believe that's true.
Yes,
I believe that's true for both of us. That's true for all of us.
Yes.
And Lord, we just want to take a step back and say what you're doing, what you're drawing people to. We just want to say yes and amen to the fact that you are the Lord.
Yes.
You're in charge.
Yes.
The Bible says that you're actually in charge of all the nations.
Yes.
And so it's amazing that you can do that at the same time oversee our individual lives. But Lord, particularly for people who feel like they've been overlooked or looked over, passed by, Lord, would you grant grace today for people to say yes? And it's just so easy. One step out of darkness is a step into light.
Yes.
And we pray for grace for people to make that turn and take that step, that they might be able to touch the fullness of why you came to them in the first place.
Yes, Lord God.
And not only them, but the kingdom.
Yes, Lord God.
And angels in heaven rejoicing. So we bless you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.